I think today conservatism has kind of been compromised by populism. And people might say, well, we have the House, we have the Senate, we have the White House, Republicans do. But not long ago we had that in 2006, and we lost it because I don't think we acted very conservative.
We finally found our Jeff Flake theme music. I think that's perfect. Happy Monday, everyone. 855-40-LAURA. So populism has ruined the Republican Party. Now, how does that explain the 2006 midterm election losses again? My God, he doesn't even know history. Now, wait, because in 2008, John McCain ran as a populist and a nationalist, right? When he ran for president against Barack Obama? Oh, wait, he didn't. Oh, and wait a second. The time where we actually won Ohio and Pennsylvania and Michigan and Wisconsin was when we ran a president who was more populist than he was of the maybe neoconservative variety of Republican. Huh. So Jeff Flake is blaming all of this on the populist guy who actually won. That's, man, my head's all twisted around with that one. Got to hand it to him. He is creative. Joining us now. She calls in and comes on our show because I need to get her ready to take on the week as well. She's one of our favorites, Ronna McDaniel, chairwoman of the RNC. Ronna, how are you? Good to talk to you.
I'm great. Always glad to be here. Thanks for having me, Laura.
Okay, so I have to have you chime in on this. I mean, I know you don't want to criticize any Republican, but just we Republicans have to be able to actually speak in the realm of facts. Okay, Jeff Sessions going on every television show trashing the president of the United States, and now blaming losses going back to 2006 on populists. Can you give us any insight on that?
Well, I'm from Michigan, obviously. So I was in the heart of the Trump movement, I guess the populist movement. I was Republican chair, and he resonated in my state in a way that no other Republican candidate has in my lifetime. When he talked about fair trade, when he talked about jobs, when he talked about wages, and now let's look how that's translating on the national stage. Our unemployment's down. We've added a million jobs. We've pulled out of bad trade deals that were hurting the American people. So I don't know what Senator Flake is talking about on this front. I think President Trump has grown our party, and I think certainly he's fulfilled those promises to the people of Michigan who voted for him and wanted to see change in Washington.
You should see the comments on Twitter that I got on Sunday when I did something I shouldn't have done, Ronna. I was, we went to Mass on Saturday vigil. So it's a long story, but we went to Mass Saturday. So Sunday morning we were kind of woo free in the Ingram household. So I was dipping in and out of the shows. So when I watched the Flake thing, I tweeted out something a little fresh, I think. But the comments from people across the country they're so frustrated by Republicans who aren't supporting the president's agenda, or Republicans who feel like their sole mission is to get a favorable editorial by the New York Times devoted to them and them only. There's not just Jeff Flake. There's McCain. There's Tom Tillis. These people are out here in morning, noon, and night. It's, well, we have to show that we're independent of this president. We have to show that we can stand on our own. We have to show that. And meanwhile, the Democrats just stick together and stick together and stick together.
It's tough. I mean, you always ask me when I come on the show and I did my homework, what do you see on those direct mail pieces coming back? What
good.
Are you hearing from the grassroots? And I will tell you, it is overwhelmingly Congress needs to support this president. And so what I say to people as I travel the country is, we were sent President Trump, and voters gave us a Senate and a House so President Trump could accomplish his agenda. And they want to see Congress working with this president. So it's frustrating for voters, and I'm all over the country. I'm in Texas and Colorado and Nevada, and they say to me every time, and it's at every level, it's even our high-dollar donors. They say, why isn't Congress supporting this president? Why do the Democrats stay in lockstep? And why can't Republicans do the same. And there is a jeopardy in 2018. If we can't accomplish the things that we ran on, what's going to happen? How do we make a case to the voters to give us majority again? So as party chair, I'm going to be vocal because I'm very concerned about what happens in the midterms if we can't fulfill the promises we ran on in 2016.
And I think that is really the only way that you can be and be successful at your job, because you're seeing the same comments that I'm seeing. And there are people who message in to us and email and LifeSet. They're not people even listen to my show. I mean, some of the people on LifeSet, they don't listen to the radio. So they don't listen to the show. Some of them watch Fox. Some don't. It's not like everybody's watching and listening to the same stuff. But I will tell you, the consistent message I am hearing across all platforms is, when are we going to get more Republicans who advocate in advance the president's agenda? And they're looking for primary challenges for Jeff Flake, people like Tom Tillis. He seems like he's very unpopular in his own state right now, and yet he seems to keep moving against the president on key issues. The way you're successful in raising a lot of money is you light a fire under those congressmen. I mean, I know you got to support them, but you got to light a fire under the recalcitrant ones.
Well, and the thing is it's not just a question, and we talked about repeal and replace last week, which obviously we fell short on, but it wasn't just a vote on repeal and replace. It was a vote on, can we govern when we're given the majority? And what I would say to those senators who wouldn't support it is, do you want to be voting on single payer health care in 2 years? Is that where you want to be? And you really have to frame it that way, because it's not just this one vote. It has long-term consequences on which party is going to be governing and what's going to come up when Democrats govern, because you better believe they're going to be pushing single-payer health care, which will destroy our health care system.
They're going to be demanding.
Obamacare's a nightmare.
Oh, no.
Just wait.
And Rana, they're now, of course, demanding that the president move forward to fully fund the exchanges and the subsidies for those with lower income people. And, you know, he's kind of damned if he does and damned if he doesn't. If he doesn't, it's all his fault, even though it isn't. It's a fiscal matter. But if he does, then they're like, well, you're buying into Obamacare. So that's his decision that's coming down the pike for the president about the exchanges. So many of them are collapsing, of course.
Yeah. But we do have an opportunity in 2018. And I do want to give hope, which is, we have an opportunity to change the landscape of the Senate and the whole makeup of the Senate. There are 10 states that President Trump won where you have Democrat incumbents. I would encourage your viewers or your listeners to get engaged, find your primary candidate, get involved with them. The RNC is already setting up shop in those states. We're getting ready for the general, because we really can add more seats in the Senate. And this is a 70-year opportunity. We haven't had a map like this in 70
years. No, it's huge.
But if we can maintain majorities, we will help the president accomplish his agenda. And it may take the 2018 election to get the type of Congress in place that will accomplish the president's agenda.
I have just an informational question for you, because I'm not sure how it works from the Republican National Committee standpoint. I should know this, but I don't. So just focusing on Flake just as an example. So he's up in 2018. There is massive discontent directed toward Flake right now in Arizona. I'm hearing it from my radio listeners in multiple cities and towns in Arizona, across social media. There's just no doubt about it. And most people are predicting that Jeff Flake is ultimately going to leave the party. That's where they're going on this. So if that's the case, what does the RNC do? Do you guys sit out primaries? You don't get involved in primaries, or how does that work?
We have a bylaw that prevents us from getting involved in a primary unless the three national committee people come together and basically create a presumptive nominee before the primary is done. And then we can treat that candidate as the presumptive nominee before the primary. It's called Rule 11.
So when is the last time that happened, Rana? When is the last time that happened?
Well,
how do we make that happen?
I mean, it did happen in it happened in 2014 in my state of Michigan, because we had an uncontested primary for a candidate. So everybody signed Rule 11 so she could gain access to those RNC resources. I will say, as the RNC, though, we're going to stay in Arizona no matter who comes out of the primary. We need to be preparing for the general. So we're doing voter reg and the ground game and the data and the get out the vote, and that's organic, and we're building on that right now.
I get it, and look, you're the expert, I'm not, but this is all I would say. If there were ever an example of a time where the party should go to extraordinary measures, extraordinary means, the three committee people getting together and saying, this might be an opportunity for that. I'm just telling you, I think he could lose Arizona because there are so many people who will not pull the lever for Jeff Flake. They're just not going to do it. And in the general, they're not going to do it. They're not going to hold their nose and vote for Jeff Flake again. Not after the last 2 weeks, not after what he did for the last several months, frankly. He never endorsed the president, never helped President Trump. So I think this is a real opportunity. You want to get people jacked up to support the RNC? They'll really support the RNC if they start seeing you doing stuff like that. That's cool. That's like saying, okay, let's all figure it out, but this can't happen again because we're not getting any traction with our agenda with people like that. I'm sorry, but I'm just being talking turkey with you on this.
They need to have another candidate that they supported, and the three RNC members would have to agree on that other candidate for Rule 11 to apply. But it is in our bylaws. So it's just interesting from a party standpoint. We do have governance, so we have 168 members, and they make those decisions. And you know, sometimes you get into the nitty gritty. But I will say, if you look at 2016, the senators that did not support the president, and let's look at Joe Heck and Kelly Ayotte, they fell short in those Senate races.
Yeah.
And so there is a cautionary tale there, which is voters want you to support the president and his agenda.
Can we talk about what would have happened to you or Reince Priebus if when you running the RNC and there's some you know, this odd character does IT work and charges a lot of money that like way out of the ballpark of what you'd get for IT work. All these other Democrats don't want that guy or his family to work on their IT problems in their offices. But somehow this guy ends up working for you or Priebus. And then the guy tries to flee the country under very nefarious circumstances. And meanwhile, the media is they'd be really bored of that story really fast, right? If there was some cloud hanging over this odd connection between this IT worker and a Middle Eastern country and money being wired overseas and family absconding to Pakistan, I'm sure you guys would get through that news cycle without much of a bruising, right?
Yeah, I'd already be behind bars if I did what Debbie Wasserman Schultz has done with Imran Awan. I mean, Imran Awan, to have a staffer who between he and his wife and his two brothers and his friends makes $5 million in taxpayer funds, to have access to congressional files. This is top secret congressional files. To have that access, he had her password. He comes under investigation. She says, you know what, I'll just keep him on my payroll. He's under investigation. Who cares? He goes to his home. He smashes hard drives. He takes a fraudulent loan, lies to the bank, says it's to buy a home in Pakistan, tries to flee the country. And Debbie Wasserman Schultz says, you know what, I'd do it all over again. She's that reckless with our taxpayer funds. She's not calling for an investigation. And guess what? We're not hearing about it anywhere on the mainstream media.
No.
If this was a Republican, they would be convicted and they'd be behind bars right now already. I mean, it's so ridiculous the way this story has been treated versus how it would be treated if it was a Republican. And it highlights the hypocrisy right now in mainstream media.
No. It's just, you've been great on that issue, by the way. And a lot of people haven't followed it because it hasn't been covered, except it's been covered in Life's Zet. It's been covered in Daily Caller, Breitbart, and few other places, been Fox, of course, but this is a scandal. It's a huge, massive scandal. And it's just like, no, let's just focus on Russia 24/7. That's all we're going to do. Rana, you're great. And let me know what I can do to help you. I'd love to help. And we got to get people jacked up for the Trump agenda. And they showed they were excited about it in November. But people get very demoralized if they feel like the people they vote for election after election just pay all these issues lip service. And thanks for holding their feet to the fire. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Laura. Thanks for having me on. I always appreciate
it. All right. No problem. We'll take a break. Don't go.
The Laura Ingraham Show.